Welcome to the Single Parent Podcast. Whether you've been a single parent for a while now or have just started on your journey,
the Single Parent Podcast is a safe place for single parents to get some great information and resources, hear the stories of fellow single parents, and connect with a strong and supportive community.
We want to help you go from surviving to thriving. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Single Parent Podcast. The Christinas are back. Happy New Year. We are in January and everyone's starting off the new year here. And I know for some, the year is starting off really well. And for some, it may not be starting off so well. And on that note, I'm going to toss over to you, Christina.
Well, first of all, Happy New Year, Christina. It's 2023 now. I can't believe that we are here. And it seems that there's some sort of trend for me in January. Last year at this time, I had COVID in 2022. And then you got COVID right after me. Like, we were just like back to back. So I'm waiting for you now because
Quiet.
You got COVID again.
No.
I refuse. And why this keeps happening to me. But yeah, so I don't know where I got it from. We never know. It can be from anywhere. But one day I came home from work and my head was just like flared up and the headache just would not go away. And I was like, oh, man, like maybe I should take a COVID test. And sure enough, it came back positive. So I've been in isolation for, I don't know, seems like forever now. But I'm negative. And now my daughter's positive, my youngest. So I thought we were in the clear, but looks like I'm off for a little bit longer while she is on the mend. But yeah, so it has not started off terrifically, I wouldn't say. But how about you, Christina? Tell me about you because I'm stuck at home in isolation.
Yes. Well, I think just the fact that I don't have COVID is already like way ahead of you here, just based on that alone. At least it waited until your vacation was over before you got hit with it and you didn't have to deal with it over Christmas, because that would have been awful. Because I know a friend of mine who was sick over Christmas. Yes. And it's just, that's just the worst time, because you want to see people, you want to relax, you want to chill. That's like the week from Christmas to New Year's, generally people take off. So to be sick during that time is just a kick in the face, and wherever else hurts on your body, it just really is. So aside from that, like, I'm not, thankfully, you know, I'm knock on all the wood in the house, but we're healthy. Kids are back in school now. I know your kids returned a week early, a week before mine, because we're in different provinces, but my kids are grateful to be back at school, and it was good to have a break. Actually, I intentionally took 2 weeks off, which was very difficult to do because after New Year's, most people started to go back to work. So there was like the call of work, emails were coming in, and requests were being had and all this, that, and the other. I'm like, no, I'm on vacation. I can't totally focus on this, but that's the trap. Don't know if it's a trap so much as an occupational hazard of being an entrepreneur. You can't ever fully disconnect. You have to have your thumb on the pulse of your business in some capacity, because otherwise it can slide in a very short period of time. So you have to keep on top of it to a certain extent. But I tried to keep it where I didn't set up filming for anything. I wasn't editing at all. So I really was strict with myself about that, because I have a bad habit of just, well, just get this done. Or, you know, you guys go do your thing.
You normally do. I'm proud of you that you actually took that time to decompress and spend time with the kids. I know you had touched base with me and you went skiing with your daughter. Your son opted out that day. So that was nice that you had some just time one-on-one. And you know, that time with family, you don't get it back. So it's special that you had some good moments in there and you stopped yourself from editing and doing all the things that you do.
It was tough. And I know a few people have that, I don't know if it's an issue, but struggle. It's a struggle for, and even for people who don't own their own businesses, who do focus on work quite a bit and work a lot, sometimes it's hard to disconnect. We all talk about, oh, it'd be great to take some time off, you know, enjoy the family and that. But really, it's very hard for some of us to disconnect from that, especially when you work from home. I find that difficult because I work part-time at home when I do my editing. I go on location and film and I come back here and edit. So for me, my work is here always, you know, so I really have to make a conscious effort when I go downstairs that I don't turn the corner and go to the office area because it's very easy to do. It's right there.
Yeah, but, that would be so difficult, you know, to like not just want to get the work done. You're like, okay, yeah. I have a couple hours. Like, why not just get her done? But
just get some stuff done. Yeah. So that was good to take that extra time. I know for you, you had time before Christmas where your kids were off. So were you able to take some extra time off before the holidays hit?
No. So the nonprofit I work for, we work right up until like that weekend before Christmas because there's so much going on in the community and giving back to the community that happens. We had a bunch of events that were going on at work. So no, it didn't slow down before the holidays kicked in. And I just had to figure out childcare for my youngest. My oldest ended up going to Edmonton to see her dad. So that wasn't too bad. But yeah, for my youngest, I'm like, okay, what am I going to do with you? Because I have to go to work for another week and you're off. So that was fun. Thankfully, I have a good village and everyone seemed to love helping out when I needed someone to take her. And she had so much fun that week. Like, she went swimming, she went to friends' houses. So she was living her best life while I was working. Lucky girl. and then it was right into Christmas mode. So I feel like the holidays went by so fast. And it was different this year because we weren't around our family. It was just me and her. And I had to make some decisions of like, what does that look like? And I ended up going and hanging out with friends, family, and it was good. Like, it was such a good vibe and everyone was so welcoming and they're like my other family. Like, if I'm not with my family, I wouldn't want to be with anyone else. So it just made a lot of sense. And Ariana had so much fun with the kids and they all sort of just played together. They brought their toys that they got for Christmas and just like sort of set up shop on the floor and we ate together and it was just really relaxing. And then her birthday was a few days after that. So it was just like, like the holidays. I don't even know if I can say like, I think I had one day to like do nothing. And other than that, it was just like, go, go, go. And then I went back to work. I was back to work for about just under a week. And that's when the COVID, it hit me hard. Mm-hmm. And yeah, now that I've been off, I'm just like feeling it's been too many days now. And it's funny, you know, you crave that time at home when you're at work and you're like, oh, I just wish I could go take a nap. You know, like some days you're like, I'm really tired. I'm pooped out. But then when you're home for so many days and you're sort of stuck in your four walls and you can't leave, not even to get a coffee, like it's the worst. And then you just sort of fall into like this spell of like watching too many Instagram reels and then it gets a little dark and then you realize, oh my gosh, it's January and I feel like I might be hitting some sort of depression. Like, I've always struggled with my mental health, but I was like, ew, like, I don't feel good. Like, I didn't want to like get out of bed to do anything. And I wanted to almost just lie in bed and like sulk that I was like sick and I couldn't do anything for myself. And I felt it. Like, I was like, oh, I feel like I'm sort of dipping into this. And how do I get out of it now? Like, and I started like really thinking, oh, I don't know if I want to feel like that, but I literally was in it. Then I got into the thick of it and I was like, I knew when I was like, oh, I should probably have a shower because I've been in my bed for way too long and starting to feel like I didn't have a reason to, like, because I knew I wasn't leaving the house. I was like, oh, wow, like, I've definitely fallen into that sort of spiral.
Right.
So I had to reassess and think like, okay, what can I do within my four walls so I don't feel like this? And I struggled. I struggled with it. I was like, oh, this sucks. And I was really negative. And I was just like snappy with my kids and just like, leave me alone. Like, I just want to sleep all day. And like, yeah, I could feel like I wasn't myself. I wasn't happy. And I forgot to take my medication one day and I was like, gosh, I feel dead awful. So my body was almost like in a withdrawal from my medication. So I was like, oh, I just feel like, for lack of a better word, like a bag of shit. That's pretty much how I was feeling. And I was like, I'm slowly coming out of it. You know, like washing your hair is a good thing. And, you know, I put on body lotion today, like self-care stuff. But, I was negative as of yesterday. So I was like, oh, I can get outside. I can go for a drive. So I drove by the ocean and I was like, okay, like I'm feeling a little better because I've escaped. I've escaped the four walls.
Yes.
But I'm not fully there because my daughter's obviously home with it and I can't leave her for too long while my other one's at school. So... yeah, I think just a few more days. And I think once I get back into my routine, that will definitely make me feel better. But I felt it, Christina. Like, I was just like, I didn't want to talk to anybody. Just sort of like minding my business. I was like in my head. Oh, it was bad. It was real bad.
It's a rough place to be when you hit that. And I think January is like that for a lot of people because it's like the post Christmas letdown, right? You get so geared up for Christmas. You're going places, you're seeing people, you're socializing, you've got time off, you're doing all the things. And then January comes and there really isn't a lot in January to look forward to after New Year's, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot coming, you know, over the course of the year. Once you get to like, I don't know, it almost starts kind of in April, May, where you have the May long weekend. And then after that, you have, you know, there's Mother's Day, Father's Day, you know, Canada Day for us, you know, summer, long weekend, school starts, Halloween, Christmas. Like there's always something towards the end of the year, but that first couple months of the year, there really isn't a lot. And I feel like a lot of people just kind of like how you felt, where you just kind of bottom out a little bit emotionally, because there really isn't anything to kind of set your mind on as motivation to work towards. And I could 100%. Be wrong on that, right? But,
no,
but that's
100%.
How I feel.
It was like the worst feeling to be in that. And I was like, ooh, I've done too much work to feel this. But I'm like, I am no better than the work that I've done. And I know it can happen and it can come back full on. And I was like, ooh, okay, I need to like figure out what the cause of this is, right? Like, aside from being stuck in my four walls, because I get it, like that will make anyone go crazy. And I'm very much like, I'm an extroverted introvert. So like, I do like my space, but I love to like be around someone. Like, even if it's sitting on my friend's couch, like at least I'm in a quiet environment still, but like enough that I'm with someone, like I'm not alone. And we talk a lot about feeling alone. And in that moment of being a single parent, and we talked about this last year, when you have COVID with your kids, you feel the most alone that you will ever feel, ever. And I know any of my single parent friends who've had COVID, I know we've talked about it. You just feel like there is nothing anyone can do or say to sort of get you out of that headspace. And fuck COVID for everything that it's done to these people and their mental health, because I was there again and I'm just like, oh, I can't keep doing this. Like it's not okay. And I tried like FaceTiming and that kind of thing, but people work, you know, like they're at work. So I was calling on some of the others that weren't at work or they work shift work. So I'm like, someone help me out here. I'm going crazy.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because it's hard to reach out, right? It's hard because there is a legit reason, even though it sucks. And I hate what it's done to, you know, our ability to connect and people's mental health. It does separate you from other people because it is something that, you know, you need to make sure that you're staying home if you're sick, whether it's COVID or something else, right? Like, I know how difficult that is for a lot of parents, and I fully acknowledge that. It does help stop the spread of stuff if you stay home when you're sick. That's something that I've tried to, you know, adjust. And quite honestly, this week, I'm trying to have more filming this week because I have a feeling my kids are not going to be feeling well next week or the week after once the circulation of germs gets back in full swing at school. So I'm trying to plan my work around the fact that my kids will probably be sick over the next couple weeks. That's actually
really, really smart, though, because after they've been off for a couple weeks, they go back for that first week, and that's when they catch everything, but those symptoms aren't going to show up for another week or two. So, yeah, that's smart. And then you can just stay home and edit while they're sick.
That's the thing, right? But not everybody has that luxury. I fully recognize that. Yeah. I am in quite a privileged position that I am able to do that. And I know, you know, other entrepreneurs are able to do that too. Mm-hmm. Not all of us, though. Some businesses, you have to be there. You have to be in your business.
Yeah, like for my job, I have to be there. Yeah, yes. Like, it's, you know, when you work for a nonprofit and you have programs to run, all those programs are jeopardized because there's not someone else that's just going to be like, oh, let me pick up the pieces and run your program. They get canceled. And then those parents who might really need that program that day, they don't have it because of sickness. And that sucks because I know, especially in January, that's when people need it the most. Like, they need to get together with people so they don't end up like me having COVID and hanging out. But what are you gonna do? I mean, it is what it is, and c'est la vie. We move on, you know, a couple more days of this and we'll be hopefully in the clear.
Yes, and this will not repeat itself in 2024 for you. If it does, I am gonna laugh my ass off, but I'm also gonna send you so much booze.
Yeah, like, you know what's funny though? I have booze, and I usually don't have booze in my fridge, but I had like one for New Year's that I didn't even drink because I didn't drink on New Year's. But I was like, oh, I could probably have a drink. And I was like, what am I going to drink for? Like, who am I drinking with? And then I was like, this sucks. Maybe if my kids were like of age, then I would just drink together. But no, didn't happen. So they're just going to sit in there probably for a year and whatever.
I mean, you could drink. There's a few people you could drink with, and that's me, myself, and I. I mean, come on, Christina, let's get creative here.
Like, have a Zoom party?
Sure. Or, you know, if you're at home. Yeah, so why not? I mean, in the entrepreneur world, if you are a solo business owner, I saw a meme recently that said, if you see me talking to myself, don't interrupt me. I'm having a team meeting. And I was like, yes.
Amen to that.
Yes.
That's a thing. It's a thing. So, I mean, COVID can kick rocks. It's funny because, you know, after a while, I sort of forgot about COVID. Like, it's not that I didn't remember that it's there, but it's been so long since I had it. So maybe, you know, you just think, it's not a big deal anymore. But then it shows up again, and I'm like, go away. Like, why are you still a thing? And like, it just sucks how contagious it is, you know?
I feel like that's the thought we have to a lot of fashion choices we're seeing. Why is this still a thing? I feel like we got to that point with a few things. No, but especially, you know, the impact that COVID is having on mental health. And that's something that I know is very dear to my heart and especially to yours, because we've had multiple conversations previously about this. And I know mental health is something that you are very aware of and advocate for in terms of improving mental health and providing resources for those who are suffering with mental health conditions. And both you and I deal with this personally. You know, I know for myself, I deal with anxiety and depression. My depression came on postpartum when I had my son. And that was about 9 years ago. And every now and then it still hits me. It was really bad when I first had him, and it's gradually decreased. But every once in a while, like, it happens. And now I've learned coping mechanisms for myself that I know I need. So when I feel it coming on, it's a trigger for me to say, okay, I can feel this. Here's what I need to do to take care of myself so that I can be okay. And I'm lucky that I'm able to do that. There are a lot of people who can't, right? They don't have that ability to do that, or have the resources or the know-how to be able to care for themselves when that happens.
And sometimes it just creeps in at weird times where you're just like, I don't want to do all the things that I know are in my toolbox. And I want to thank you for sharing your mental health struggles, because I think a lot of the time when people talk about mental health, there's still this stigma that's like, oh, I don't want to share, like, quote unquote, what's wrong with me. But at the end of the day, in order for things to get better for society, we need to talk about it. And I think that that's so huge of you to, like, even state what it is. I mean, I have a list of things. And I'm never scared to, I don't shy away. It's like, oh, there's ADHD, bipolar, depression, anxiety, agoraphobia. Yeah. Like, there's quite a few different mental health concerns that I've had to cope with over the years. And obviously, PTSD is the biggest one for me. And you learn sort of that there's different ways to navigate how you're feeling just based on, like, which disorder am I dealing with right now? Like, is this depression or am I dealing with anxiety or am I dealing with an ADHD issue or whatever it is for me? But I knew during this COVID little isolation, it was straight up depression. Like, it was like, hey, bitch, I'm back.
Yay.
I think they just wanted to come and be like, hey, by the way, like, I'm still here. So don't forget that, like, you need to do all the things to make sure you feel good. And to, like, just put the cherry on the top, I normally don't, like, menstruate, which is a thing. Like, I don't have a menstrual cycle every month. Mm-hmm. But anyway, as soon as I was, like, feeling super low, I was like, what the fuck is this? And I literally got the worst period cramps and, like, was bleeding so heavy. And I was like, so is it my hormones too out of balance? Like, I was like, well, if that's not the fucking cherry on the cake, pardon my language, then
I think we passed the point of pardoning your language. It's just part of who you are, Christina. I accept you and love you for who you are. And quite frankly, hearing what you're going through, no, that is absolutely a well-timed.
It was very well-timed in the devil's eyes. I was like, you bitch. Like, what in the actual shit is this? Like, I was like, I have COVID. I don't want a period and depression all at once. Like, it was just like, seriously, are we going there? And it was a little pep talk after, like, okay, I need some, like, Advil and I need a heating pad and I need a nap and all the things. So, you know, once I had that, I felt pretty good. And I think I got my friend to drop me off an ice cap. That usually makes me feel better when I don't feel good. So, but yeah.
That's just, that's not fair. That's just so not fair.
My
that
storm
you got
cloud.
Oh my gosh. I just.
So if anyone, if anyone's feeling like shit, just know, I stand with you in solidarity because I'm there with you. Like, this month has sort of been a shit month, but you know what? Tomorrow's a new day, and I journaled about it, and I'm like, okay, like, let me get my feels out here. And there was some underlying things there that it was just sort of sitting in the back of my head, and I was like, oh, okay, well, this is probably why I'm feeling this way. It's not all of the shit. It's, like, all the internal stuff that I have not absorbed and expelled out of my body. So it was like, I just need to write it out. And for me, journaling is like my biggest coping mechanism. It is what makes me feel like I am still a human. And it just needs to happen. And I know some people, there's like other ways that they deal with it. But for me, it's just like the most therapeutic shit ever. Like, no talk therapy, just let me write it down.
You know, it's interesting that you were experiencing those things, because it just occurred to me that that could be the reason why January is such a tough month for people, because that second part of the year that I mentioned, you're riding this high and then you hit January and there isn't really something to keep you distracted and you're really faced with, you and how you're feeling and what's going on inside, and you being home and not having the regular distractions of work and life and driving and family and seeing everyone and friends and all of that kind of forced you to face that stuff that was going on inside you. And I wonder if that's also part of why January is so tough for a lot of people, because it forces you to slow down. And not a lot of us like doing that because of that very reason, right?
You have to actually deal with it.
You do. Who wants to do that? Nobody.
I was just like, no. But then I was like, okay, fine. Right. Let me get my fancy pants out.
I feel like that's the female F word is fine.
Yeah, I'm fine.
I actually had my mom tell me one time when I think I had said it in that way, like, okay, fine. And she said, don't you use that word with me. I was like, whoa, sorry, mom.
You used the F word with your mother?
Apparently. Naughty. I did. My bad. But that's so good that you journal. That's something that I struggle with. And I really commend you for doing journaling and for doing that kind of work. Because I find that difficult, because I'm one of the empath type people where you feel things very deeply. And so confronting those feelings is quite scary for me. And I'll be honest about that. It's very scary to confront those big feelings that are, you know, still that are in there, you know, and over the last few years, especially, and even before that, facing what happened before my split, right? Because there was stuff that happened there. So trying to work through all of that is very challenging for me. And I have a journal on my bedside table, and I kid you not, I look at it every single day, and I look at it and I go, nope. and I walk away. And I'm so impressed and in awe by you that you are able to do that kind of thing, because I find that so difficult. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, it's not for everyone. And I think that it's just one coping mechanism. I mean, there's so many other ways to like handle and deal with whatever you're feeling and going through. But it just, I think for me, I have sometimes a hard time verbalizing like my thoughts. And I also don't always feel safe to share with just anybody. So I feel like if I write it down and it's just between me, myself, and I, it doesn't matter what I say, because there's no judgment. It's straight up like just me reading it. I sometimes let my bestie read it out here. She's like, can I read it? I'm like, eh. And then I was like, yeah, you can read it. I don't care. You know everything about me. And then I'm like, wait, not that part.
So you go through and you like redact it and you're like, hey, hold on, not this.
But then she's like, let me read it. And I'm like, hey, those are my most deepest, innermost thoughts. And I'm just like, ooh. But I mean, I've also read her stuff too. And it's like, I don't know. It's like getting the tea on someone's brain. And it's interesting. But it's interesting when you do let someone read what you wrote in certain scenarios, not in every scenario, but it's interesting because sometimes they give you really good feedback and like, hey, like X, Y, and Z, try this, try that. I noticed you wrote this. Have you tried doing blah, blah, blah? And sometimes that can be helpful for me, just like hearing someone's opinions. Sometimes they say something that you might not want to hear, but I feel like when it's someone that you like are, they're like your soulmate, like your best friend, like that person is going to like give it to you with whatever you need to hear in that moment. And I would trust that she wouldn't like sabotage what I was thinking.
Right. But, yeah. Because that's a very vulnerable thing to share with someone, right? Because that's generally where you write stuff or put stuff that even you yourself are maybe ashamed of, right? To a certain extent, it's not something you would normally share with other people. You know, so to share that with someone, I don't think I'd be able to do that, especially with something when you're writing out things about mental health, because there are some dark things that, you know, inhabit our minds, whether we want them there or not. And when you're really faced with those thoughts, that's part of what makes it so scary for me is, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm a very bright personality. I am very optimistic. I very much focus on kindness and understanding and love and that kind of thing. So to be confronted with that part of me, I don't like it. I don't like thinking that there is this dark part of me, right? And I've usually viewed it as a bad thing. Aww. To have thoughts like that.
Well, I challenge you, Christina. I think you should write a journal entry and let me read it. But not because I'm nosy. Okay, a little bit because I'm nosy. But
it's totally because you're nosy.
There's nothing that you could write that would surprise me at this point because I've wrote some shit. But honestly, though, like there's been times where someone can read something that you wrote. And, like, I've written letters before I burn them, and I've had people read them, or even reading them out loud at, like, grief workshops. Like, I've had to do certain things out loud in front of other people, or going up in front of people and burning a letter. Like, it's wild, but there's something that exposes your soul in that moment, and you feel, like, as a collective, that all of these people have felt something that you're feeling in some capacity, because everyone's dealt with some sort of mental health, whether it be losing someone or going through depression or having anxiety or PTSD, trauma, you name it. So sometimes if someone's holding your hand while you're doing something like that, you can feel that connection of community, which I think truly can help people get through mental health struggles. But that's just my input. I don't think that feeling dark is a bad thing. I think it's completely normal. It's part of the human condition, right? So let's get your mindset around that and write a letter to someone and let me read it. But you'll not let me read it.
You know what? I appreciate you challenging me on that. I do, because I'm very much about pushing myself beyond where I am. So maybe this is the time to do that. Maybe it's time to, you know, I don't use the word confront, but explore that side of me a little more and maybe honor it rather than treating it as something to be avoided or that it's bad or, you know, that kind of thing. And I appreciate you doing that for me. Thank you. I think I needed that. And I will extend the challenge to everyone else who struggles with journal writing and that kind of thing, that if there is something that maybe you've been avoiding the last little while, or something that, you know, you haven't wanted to face or talk about or whatever it happens to be, write a couple sentences about it. That's how I'm going to start. I'm just going to write a couple sentences at first and see how it feels. And we'll go from there. We'll see what comes out. Who knows? That could just be like the crack that breaks the dam, and then it's going to be like, but who, you know, it could but actually
imagine
be
that freeing experience that you might gain from it. Like,
yes,
there's so much that can come from journaling. Oh, I'm definitely an advocate for journaling. And I mean, I'm lucky in the way that I can literally drive down a few minutes and be at the ocean and bring my journal and write. And there's something about like an ocean breeze for me that is like super therapeutic. And I was like, oh, I need to do that. Like, I need to escape my house so I can get to the ocean. Like, it's just my happy place. And I mean, unfortunately, you don't have that in Edmonton.
I'm very jealous.
You have some really beautiful spots in Alberta that you can totally drive to, even within St. Albert. There's so much green space. So it's like, love it, love it, love it. And low key, I said there's so much green space because I listened to a documentary Christina was a part of, and she was the green space in St. Albert. And it was like stuck in my head.
Yes.
Indeed. I did watch it. 30 minutes.
Thank you. Yes, I was like, I'm going to watch
it. She was so cute. You guys, if you haven't watched it, she like posted the links for YouTube and it's like, oh, so cute. Anyway, sorry, not trying to like get it out there, but
no, I appreciate
I thought
you
it was
that.
So educational. I was like, wow, I learned so much.
Thank you. I appreciate you talking about that, because that's kind of part of where, you know, they are connected. It's that experience of doing something that you're not used to doing and, you know, doing the journaling and going and doing that and doing the documentary were both things that I was scared to do. you know, mm-hmm. doing something new, doing something different, doing something that will push you outside of your comfort zone, right? So no, they're very much related. The documentary was a very big learning experience for me last year, and I so appreciate you watching it. I do, because I'm in it, and that was something that I'm not used to, is being in front of the camera. I'm used to being behind the camera.
Oh my gosh, you were so cute though in it. I was like, oh my gosh, she's so cute. I can't. I was like, I could watch this all day, and I was like, I have nothing better to do. Let me watch Christina's documentary. But I actually did enjoy it, and it was just like, I was a little jealous because I wanted to drive one of those cars like really bad, and it looked fun. And like, I just want to know like what it felt like when you were like putting, when you were doing the gas, because it's not like gas, obviously it's hydrogen.
Yes.
So I was like, how the hell, like, does it feel different when you're like pumping it, quote unquote?
A little bit, yes. So just to give everyone context here. So no, that's okay. So I worked on a documentary last year that is focused, it's called Alberta's Emerging Hydrogen Economy. And it explores the possibility of using hydrogen as part of the Alberta energy sector, because we're very focused on oil and gas in this province, which is necessary and needed for a lot of things that we use, our cars, our vehicles, our clothing. There's a lot of things that oil and gas are involved in, right? So this was exploring the possibility of hydrogen, because the biggest thing with oil and gas is when you do burn hydrocarbons, you get a lot of pollution from it, which is not good for our environment. Nobody likes that. So burning hydrogen, you get water and a little bit of heat. So this documentary explores the feasibility of, is this something that is actually possible? And the short answer is yes, it is something that is possible. So one of the segments that Christina is talking about here is me and my co-producer, Marvin Polis, we went to Vancouver and we got to drive a hydrogen-powered car, which was super cool.
Yeah, whatever. Like, yes. I'm jealous, okay? Like, I want to try it too. Like, why wasn't I invited? I know I'm not like a videographer, but I just wanted, I could have driven the car. You could have like taped me. You like to be behind the camera. I would have looked cute.
We'll shove you in the overhead compartment and bring you with us next time.
But it was a smooth ride, you said, right?
Yes, it was. It was very smooth. It was very quiet. It functions the same as a normal vehicle. So down there are fueling stations at regular gas stations. So it's like diesel, right? You have a side for gasoline, and then you have a side or a separate pump for diesel. It's the same for hydrogen. So you won't have to go to specialized fueling stations to do this. So we went there, and the process is the same as filling up with regular gas. So you go to the pump and you take the handle off and you punch in, you know, that I need to fill up with hydrogen, and you do the payment thing. And then the nozzle itself is a little bit different. So with gas, there's a nozzle, and then there's like a plastic circle around it that kind of keeps the fumes in the tank. When you're filling up with hydrogen, it's a lever that clamps down. So it's an airtight seal, because when you're pumping it, you need to make sure it's going in. That's the safest way to pump the hydrogen. So once you're done, it shuts it off. You unclamp the nozzle, put it back where it belongs, and that's it.
I mean, it looked cool too, because like in the video, it was like showing you in percentages, like how full the hydrogen was filling it or whatever. And I was like, that looks so tech savvy. It was like 88%. And I'm like, what?
Yes.
I was like, that is so cool. Like, I want one.
Yes. No, it was great. And then the hydrogen fuel is used to power a battery in the vehicle. So so the process of power and all of that, it uses friction in the process to produce heat. Like, there's so many different things that this engine can do, that the fuel can do. So the first episode is just to set it up to give everyone the lowdown on what to expect. And then there's a second episode to the documentary where it gets a little more techie and geeky, and it goes into the process of how that works. So me and Marvin went up to Fort McMurray and talked to a bunch of people who are involved in the industry, and it gets a little sciencey, a little techie, but I was able to follow it, and I was the gauge. So in this whole documentary, because I wasn't familiar with the subject matter as much as Marvin was, I was the gauge for like the everyday person. Can the everyday person understand what's going on here? Can you understand it, Christina? Yes, then we're good.
Hey, I mean, if I was understanding it, that's good. Yes, like, exactly. I was watching it and I was like, this is a little bit intense, but like, I'm catching all of it and I'm retaining it. But I just thought it was neat. Like, I never heard of hydrogen powered vehicles until you were telling me about this documentary. I mean, I've heard of electrical, like, you know, like that's a thing, but, and like gas, like normal,
yeah,
but not hydrogen powered. So I just thought it was interesting. So I watched it and, yeah, if you guys haven't watched it, I obviously recommend going to like check it out. I'm all about like good environmental sustainability. So, you know, it's going to Alberta soon, isn't it? Like, how much longer until they start selling cars out there that are hydrogen powered?
Part of the struggle is getting the infrastructure set up. And this was the same thing that happened with electric cars when electric cars first came on the market, was getting the infrastructure set up so people could fuel them up, right? And making it easily accessible for consumers. So currently they're expanding into the commercial space, which is great because they're transferring a lot of trucks, long haul trucks, over to hydrogen or hydrogen hybrids. Yeah, which is so great for the environment, right? Because they do a lot of driving on the roads. So switching some of those over, there's already 3,300 commercial vehicles powered by hydrogen on the roads right now. And I know a lot of people are leery about hydrogen because they think Hindenburg and everything's going to blow up and, you know, it's a volatile fuel. And it's really not. It's as safe, if not safer, than gasoline. Is what I discovered.
Wild.
Yeah, which is pretty wild. So if there are some of you who are interested in checking it out, I'll send the links over to Christina and she can post them on our Facebook page and yes, perhaps on Instagram. We'll see about Instagram. Instagram's funny about links.
I know how to do it. You just need to give me the YouTube link. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, so we'll get you guys set up with those and yeah, give you a little peek into, you know, something a little bit of an offshoot off the podcast here into, you know, something that I'm working on outside the podcast, but
go see what Christina does ta-da. For her day job.
That it sounds is a fun dirty. Day job.
What do you do at night?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Podcast.
Podcast. Christine, I believe we had a previous guest allude to Christina's After Dark, a theme like that, which, you know.
I think it would be fun. I think it would be fun. I really do.
Yeah. No, I think this is... this is a really good time to talk about those mental health things, just kind of getting back to that topic a little bit. But if you are struggling with mental health right now and you're finding it difficult to make it through and you're, you know, finding it really challenging to connect with other people, you know, reach out to us, reach out to your village. Christina, what are some things that people can do if they're finding it really, really challenging to reach out?
Yeah, there's a lot of resources that people can have access. I will post in our links all of the different phone numbers and websites that they can call if they're really struggling. They're 24-hour day, 7-day-week helplines. And if you are struggling, don't feel scared to reach out. We want people to reach out and our inbox is always, always open for anyone struggling. And, yeah, like Christina said, reaching out to your village, your friends, your family, coworkers, whoever it is that, you know, knows how to sort of help you get through whatever you're feeling, but just know you're not alone. I mean, we are just as much human as you are. And, I mean, I've been going through it this month too. So, like I said earlier, solidarity and yeah, stay tuned for the links on our post.
Absolutely. And to all of you who are listening, who are new listeners, welcome aboard. We're very, very excited to start 2023 with you. And we're actually going to be coming up on year 3 of the podcast here in a few months, which is super exciting. Super exciting. So, yes, we're so glad you all could join us today. If there's anything you need from us, please do reach out. We love hearing from you. Suggest a topic for us. Suggest a resource that you'd like to hear more about. Like we mentioned before, we're going to be doing a lot more panels, discussions, lots more parent stories for you. So we're always open and willing and loving to hear from you. So until then, we'll catch you on the next episode.
You can find more great episodes featuring helpful information and amazing stories by searching Single Parent Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts,
or visit www.lifesongfilms.com and click podcast.
Thanks for joining us today.
And remember, we're all in this together.